We're back here, WCVG 88.7 FM, Teaching Talk Christian Radio from North Georgia. How does the Orthodox deal with children?
How do you mean?
Well, what kind of worldview do you have with your children? Do they have their own schools? Do you train them? Do the fathers of the train the children? Spiritual formation, is that the place of the father? Or should it be?
The father has a responsibility as the spiritual head of the household. Absolutely.
Yes.
But the father's responsibility is part of the families being part of the community. We call sometimes the home a little church. But it's a little church not separate from the whole church, but as part of the whole church. The mother and the father, who have joined themselves together and entered into the kingdom of God in the church and are underway. When I say church, I don't mean institution. I mean the reality that is going on.
The body of Christ?
Well, yes, I do mean that. But what I want to emphasize is that I mean the reality of our participation in the church during the divine liturgy at all of the sacramental services, because our understanding is that when we leave the world and enter there to do what we do at the divine liturgy, we are leaving this world, entering the kingdom of God, and ascending to the table where Christ is on the right hand side of God the Father, and he gives us food there in that place as we celebrate what we're doing along with all of the hosts of heaven, along with all Christians who are able to celebrate that feast together from the very first Christian, you know, and even the prophets of the Old Testament, because they're also brought into this communion, that we commune along with them. This is a reality for us.
Now, I feel the kingdom of God is here and now. It's a spiritual kingdom. I hear that you think it's heaven.
Well, that's kind of funny that you would say that, because, you know, one of the things that I emphasize is that there is a difference between oftentimes a Western way of understanding things, where heaven is up there, and Orthodox say that we can enter into and participate in heaven, the kingdom of God, the presence of kingdom
now.
Of God now.
Well,
you know,
I just said that. Yes.
Well, that's what we're going to do at the Divine Liturgy. But for us, that's a sacramental reality. It only takes place fully at the end of time. But at the Divine Liturgy, we are at the end of time. You know, the Orthodox, when it comes to talking about the end times, we're talking about eschatology, right? The end times, the study of the end times. The Orthodox understanding of the end times is that the end times have begun. It's called an inaugurated eschatology. The end times have already begun, and we can participate in them. And that's what we go to do at the Divine Liturgy.
Yeah, I believe the end times started at Pentecost.
We wouldn't disagree. Not all Western Christians understand it that way. I mean, a lot of hay is made out of Revelation, which makes no sense to us.
No. Revelation is my favorite book.
You know, the funny thing is that, you know, that when Athanasius made the first list of the books of the Bible, Old Testament, New Testament, it's exactly the list that we have today, except for the book of Revelation. He didn't have it on the list. It was very controversial, and there was a sense that people will make all kinds of strange ideas out of this. You know, so it was considered inspired. Nobody said that St. John didn't write it.
Who got to have it? Just the clerics? Really? They didn't get rid of it.
Well, you've got to remember, there's no Gutenberg printing press. It's not like, you know, they were keeping Bibles away from people. You had to go where one was. It wasn't that it was hidden.
It wasn't in there?
This is the standard. It wasn't read during the service.
Okay, but you had it.
Yeah, absolutely.
Here it is.
Yeah, exactly. But it wasn't on the list of the things that...
It must have been dark and mysterious then, because...
Well, it's very...
He had to look... A lot of things that John is saying about different things that he's saying, using it with a language, looking at things, and he's saying it a certain way. And when we read it in our century, we say, oh, that's a helicopter, and those are helmets.
Oh, yeah,
You know, and he had no earthly idea what a helicopter was. It's this thing that flies, it has stingers in its tails, and, you know, and I can see where it was tremendously mysterious until the time God wanted to reveal it.
Well, there are orthodox interpretations of all those things, but as I mentioned before, they have a lot to do with the divine liturgy and that as the structure of what's going on that John would, from our way of understanding, been able to assume, because that's what people knew firsthand from going to the liturgy all the time, and they would have got that.
Well, I find I'm agreeing with you more than not. It must be because of the reading of the Word of God, not going by all things.
That list that I mentioned was written in the year 367 A.D.
Yeah.
By Athanasius of Alexandria. We call St. Athanasius. He gave the first list in an epistle, in a letter. And after he writes the list, he says this about the books of the Bible, quote, "These are the wells of salvation, so that he who thirsts may be satisfied with the sayings in these. Let no one add to these. Let nothing be taken away."
You would never preach on Revelation?
I might, but I'd have to explain how it fit with everything else.
Okay.
Orthodox avoid using scriptural verses as texts to prove things.
Wow.
It's almost sacrilegious, you know, for us to do that. Well, if you were Orthodox, you would adjust your way of doing things, you know, but it wouldn't necessarily change the outcome, because the truth is in the Scripture. There's no question about that.
Thank you. Tell me where your church is and how people could get there or be a part of your community, what that would mean.
It's in Toccoa, Georgia, at 722 Collins Road. Toccoa.
Did you have something, Sharon?
Well, if you're putting in a plug, that was Ruth Purcell. She said, put in a plug also. There is also an Orthodox mission starting in Gainesville, and it meets the first and third Sunday of the month at the First Baptist Church Life Center at 10 a.m. If you are interested in seeing an Orthodox service and learning a little more about it, they're a little closer than the mission in Toccoa.
Right.
Tell me where it is again.
It's at the First Baptist Church, and they meet in the Life Center.
What time did you get?
At 10 o'clock in the morning.
Oh, wow.
The first and the third Sunday of the month.
And when do you folks meet?
We meet at 10 o'clock every Sunday morning in Divine Liturgy at 722 Collins Road, Toccoa, 30535. If you put that in on your Google Maps or the other one, that will show you where we are. And we have a website. There are a lot of sermons there. There are descriptions and explanations of the Orthodox faith, how the particular church got started. It had something to do with the experience of the core group at Toccoa Falls College. Almost every single original member was a graduate of Toccoa Falls College. That website is stimotoccoa.org. So sttimothy-toccoa.org. And there are a lot of things there to read and lots of sermons to listen to as well.
Is everyone welcome?
Everyone is welcome. And it's Vespers Saturday night at 6 o'clock every week as well. On Wednesday nights at 6 o'clock, we have a study group. It's a compline, which is about a 15-20 minute service, and then a discussion group. Right now we're focusing on the Blessed Theophylact's commentary on the Gospels. Theophylact is an 11th century writer, wrote centuries before the Reformation. And, well, he was appreciated in the Christian West, but he was entirely an Orthodox Christian writer. Reading his commentary, it's not just reading him, he uses commentaries from previous fathers of the church. It's a wonderful commentary.
We have a great history, don't we?
Absolutely.
In the faith.
Yeah.
And I know that Jesus didn't give everybody everything. That's what the body's all about.
Right.
And the variety there and the depth in some areas. And I appreciate you coming with us here at CVG. Did you ever remember that thing you were trying to say that I interrupted? We couldn't be by ourselves. We're in a community. That was context.
Well, the background is, you know, in ancient times it was said one Christian is no Christian. And the idea is that we cannot be Christians all by ourselves. But when we enter into the body of Christ, we are joined along with all of the others who are members of the body of Christ. which is, I've always understood the verse where Jesus says, if you do not forgive others, neither will I forgive you.
I love that.
Is because you can't hold forgiveness away from another person without separating yourself from God. We are together with Him. If you don't forgive someone, you've separated yourself from Christ and all of the others.
That's not a case of Jesus moving away. That's a case of
Christ. We moved away, absolutely. So trying to function as a lone plane in flight, it just doesn't work out. I mean, you want to be on board with the rest of the members of the body of Christ from the first century down till now, including, the holy men and women of the Old Testament.
Yeah, and if God wanted an only child, I guess the thief on the cross would have been it. And he would have been done. I just thought of that. He doesn't want an only child. He wants a family. He wants us all to get along, too. He
wanted to bring us all into communion with Him through His only begotten only child.
Yes.
So that we are... I ran into someone who once, back before I went to seminary, who did not understand that Christians are adopted children of God. Because he had this... He had been reading Hinduism. He said, well, we're all children of God. Well, we are the adopted sons and daughters of God through Christ, His only begotten Son.
And we're even grafted into the old saints.
Absolutely. Then they are waiting for the promise, for the fulfillment of the promise, which came in St. Paul's time. You know, he writes about that.
Well, I want to thank you, Father Jacob Culp, with a K, for enlightening us this afternoon, coming over. You came so far, and I know you called several times, and I wondered if you didn't lose your way, though. You've made it over here.
That's why I asked.
See, here's a man that asks directions.
That's right.
So you get a medal.
Well, that comes from having been lost so often.
There you go. Prodigal son has to stop and get directions to get back to Father. Thank you very much.
Thank you. Thank you very much for inviting me.
Thank you for coming on. So, that was our situation for today. Talk more with him.